Do you wake up each day with the confidence that God is on your side? Or do you feel like you have to keep earning His approval? Do you go through your day secure in your relationship with God? Or do you feel like if you mess up, He will punish you or maybe even give up on you? Do you have a confidence that God really wants to change your life, that He really wants to make a difference with your life? Or do you feel like you're just stuck on a treadmill and unsure if anything will ever change? Well, if you've ever felt unsure or insecure in your relationship with God, I do know this. God wants to change that. And He wants to change it today. That's why He gave us Jesus. Because when Jesus made us right with God by giving His life on the cross, Jesus did so much more than simply provide forgiveness of our sins. What He did there was to secure for us a relationship with God that's unlike any other relationship you will ever experience. That's what we're going to look at this morning. So if you brought your Bible, I want to encourage you to open it to Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, where we're going to unpack four realities of your relationship with God that Jesus secured for you at the cross. Now, if you don't have a copy, you'd like a copy, we've got copies. If you don't have a Bible, we'd like to give this to you. But before we get in there, I just want to remind you, if you're new here or if you've just been here for the last week or so, that we're in this series called The Life that focuses on Jesus Christ. And moving all the way up to Easter, we've been focusing on Jesus' life in the Gospels. Well, we've learned so many great truths and realities about His life. That Jesus is more than just a rabbi, more than a teacher. That Jesus is the giver of rest and the giver of comfort and peace. He's a friend of sinners. He's the greatest leader you can ever know, that you can ever follow. And that His resurrection from the dead changes everything for us. But in the rest of this month, on the other side of the resurrection now, I want to look at some things that Jesus did for us that happened at the cross that have a present reality right now for us in the present. And some of the things that He is currently doing for us. So as we look at the life of Jesus today, we're going to actually look at what He did for us at the cross that secured for you a relationship with God that you can have absolute confidence that God is always for you and always with you. And the first of these realities is this, found in verse 1, is that He makes us friends with God. Look at the verse. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Now, the title of this message is Jesus Makes Us Right. Jesus makes us right with God. That's what that little word justified means. That Jesus makes us right with God because when we put our faith in Him, He does not simply remove all of our sins just as if we've never sinned. That's true. But what He does then is He downloads all of His righteousness into us. And so because we now stand before God in the righteousness of Christ, we are right with God. And so each one of these realities are going to reflect on how Jesus has made us right with God. And this first one we see is that we have peace with God. This peace with God is what I would call your present relational status if you have put your faith in Jesus. It's not like the peace we talked about last week, where Jesus says, my peace I give to you. And then He says, second time, my peace I give to you, the shalom of God, this new life that God has for you in the kingdom of God, where it's life as God intended. No, this is a different kind of peace. This is the kind of peace that you and I are more familiar when we talk about the ceasing of hostility, the ceasing of war, where there's peace. Because the Bible tells us that prior to putting your faith in Jesus Christ, you have a relationship status with God, and it is not good. The Bible says that you are in a hostile relationship with God, that you are actually enemies with God. That's what we read as we prepared for communion this morning. We were enemies with God because of our evil behavior, because of our sinfulness, because of our rebellion. We turned our back on God. We ignored God. We disregarded His commands. We wouldn't trust Him, believe Him, or have anything to do with Him because we wanted to call the shots in our own life. We made ourselves our own God. And that, in our sin, was a total offense to God, alienated us from God, separated us from God. And the status was simply enemy of God. Now, that's not a popular thing to say today. Nobody wants to be called an enemy of anybody. But God calls us that apart from Jesus. But once you put your trust in Jesus, your relationship status changes. Because of what Jesus did for you, your status as an enemy of God ends. At the moment when you put your faith in God, in Jesus, there was no longer any discord, any hostility, or any rebellion in your relationship. You were no longer at odds with God because Jesus had reconciled you to God. And at that moment, Jesus gave you peace with God. And the result of peace with God is friendship. Jesus made you God's friend. That's what He secured for you at the cross. Now, if Jesus did this for you, if Jesus made you God's friend, then you are free. You no longer need to earn God's approval. You have it. You don't have to gain His favor. You have it. Nothing stands between you and God. You are now His friend. And what that means is this, is that God is now predisposed to you as His friend. I want you to remember something here. It is God Himself who initiated this friendship through Jesus. You did not initiate this friendship. God sent His Son to die on that cross to initiate that friendship. And if He initiated this friendship, and Jesus secured this friendship by shedding His blood for you, here's the truth. Here's the truth that you need to grab. Then your friendship with God is secure forever. And this should give you great confidence because God is a faithful friend. Now think about your life on a daily basis with me for a second. You will fail God from time to time. Now, some of you more than others. All right? I'm not going to say who. I just go, I know I fail God all the time. Sometimes you don't trust Him. Sometimes you fall into temptation. Maybe daily. Maybe 5 minutes after you walk out of here, you fall into temptation. But because Jesus made you right with God, that doesn't matter. You have peace with God. It is a possession of your relationship status, and it is an unchangeable fact. This is your current reality. It is a reality that began the day you put your trust in Jesus. And it is not based on your feelings. It is not based on your behavior. It is based on what Jesus did for you. And it's a done deal. So now and always, you will have peace with God. And once that truth really begins to sink into your soul, in your relationship with God, you will have great security.
You will have great security.
You will always know that God is your friend. You will always know that God will be by your side, that you will never have to earn His approval. You already have it. You will always have it now and forever, even if you fail Him. That's kind of mind-blowing grace. But it's the truth of the reality of what Jesus secured for you at the cross. Jesus made you God's friend. You have peace with God. I don't have this in my notes. The Holy Spirit's kind of tickling me with this. If God initiated friendship with you, and you can never lose that friendship, and God made you His friend when you were an enemy, doesn't that say something to us how we would want to live and initiate friendships today? People need friends. People need friends who will always be there for them. People who need friends who won't give up on them if they fail or if they sin or if they say or do something stupid. I would venture to say that some of you have friends in your life that have hurt you and you have not been their friend because of that. If I understand God's word correctly, you're not being a friend like God's being a friend to you. And perhaps God would have you today to go say, you know what? I need to reestablish that friendship. Maybe it's with a child. Maybe it's with a brother. Maybe it's with a son or daughter. Maybe it's with a neighbor. Maybe it's with someone who just frosted you the other day and ticked you off just because of their behavior. You know what? Their behavior is probably that way because they don't have a friend like you in their life. If God is a friend like this to us, what a significant impact could we have if we were friends like that to our neighbors? That's just a little thought that God's been tickling with me as I've been preparing this. Because the one thing I want us to get from this, but God has spoken to me, is that we want to walk out of here with this great confidence, God confidence, that God's your friend. But all of a sudden, it's kind of said, yeah, a lot of people need a friend like God. And you could be that friend. Well, that's the first reality. That's the first reality Jesus secured for you on the cross. Man, Jesus is good. He's done so much for us. Here's the second. He ushers us into His grace. In fact, He says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. This is great truth. You know, I was thinking about this week. This is doctrine. This is theology. But I would say this is like vitamin A, B, C, and D and stuff that we need for our spiritual health. You know what I'm saying? We need to chew on the vitamins of God's truth in our life. So here's the picture Paul wants us to see. How actually what Jesus does for us. The picture is this, that Jesus actually introduces us to God is the idea. Access isn't really the best word. It's more of an introduction to God as the giver of endless grace. So picture this. Jesus meets you outside the throne room of God. You've just trusted in Him. You've just experienced His forgiveness. You just experienced this new life. And it's great. But now Jesus takes you by the hand and He walks you into the presence of God Almighty in His throne room. And upon entrance into the presence of God, what do you find? You find grace, not condemnation. You find mercy, not judgment. Whereas previously you have never been granted audience with the King, you are now welcomed gladly into His presence. See, that's the idea. It's an introduction that Jesus brings us. He ushers us in to the presence of grace. And this is also meant to give us great security in our relationship with God. Because by making you right with God, Jesus has secured an ongoing access into the presence of God. And many of you know this. Here are some other scriptures that teach this from Ephesians. For through Him, Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. There's our word, confidence. Jesus secured this for us. This is good news. This is what Jesus did for us by dying for us. And the good news of all of this is wrapped up in this little phrase that you probably just read really quickly there. Into this grace in which we now stand. See, this phrase tells us that our place in the presence of God is a permanent reality. From the moment you believe in Jesus, Jesus ushers you to a place of grace where you get to stand not just once, but for all time. Why? Because where we get to stand by grace in the presence of the God of all grace, who is the source of endless grace. And the image that comes to my mind here is that standing in the presence of God, getting this access into the presence of God, this is where we get to stand presently, right now. The image that comes to mind is this, is that Jesus ushers us to a fountain of grace that has an overflowing, endless supply of grace, but that fountain is God Himself. That's why the writer of Hebrews encourages believers to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. You see, God's outpouring of grace does not stop when you first put your trust in Jesus. Because of what Jesus did for you, you now stand in the place of grace where God is always there willing to give you grace upon grace upon grace. In fact, right now, this moment, if you know Jesus, you get to live in a constant state of grace where God is always there to forgive you, renew you, restore you, and help you live the life that He's meant for you to live. That's good news. See, here's where God wants to build a confidence in you, a God confidence in you. For when you really believe this, when you embrace this as a reality of your everyday life, when you wake up in the morning and you realize that you stand in the realm of grace, when you stand in the realm of grace, this truth should make a huge difference in your life. First, yes, it will give you this amazing sense of security, because God's endless supply of grace means you never have to worry about His forgiveness for you. You will always stand in His grace. He will always forgive you no matter what you do. He will never say to you, "Oh, you've gone too far this time." He will never give up on you. That's why when Peter came to Him and said, "How many times should we forgive?" And Jesus said, 70 times 7, which was an exaggeration that says that there is an endless supply of grace with God. That's good news. It should give you confidence. Because we always get to stand in God's presence, not because of our righteousness, but because we stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus brings you to God and introduces you to the God of endless grace. Good news. And I would simply say this, that some of you here today need to embrace this truth. You need to hold on to this reality as a reality of your everyday life, because some of you are insecure before God because of your sin. You're holding on to guilt or to shame. But when you believe that God's grace can cover any sin, then you can be truly free. He wants you free. For there is no sin you have committed that is more powerful than God's grace. Here's the reality. Look at the cross. If there is no sin a person commits before salvation too great for God to forgive, then there is no sin that you commit after salvation that is too great for God to cover. And Jesus made this possible. Jesus made you right with God and keeps you right with God by His grace, so you can find grace whenever you need it. It makes me think of Newton's song, Amazing Grace. Right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And we often think about it as the day of our salvation. But if we're really honest with ourselves, sometimes we're pretty wretched on a daily basis. But God wants to remove our wretchedness. He's always there to forgive you. And I think sometimes people have this difficult thing in their life. They can forgive someone else. They find that easy to do. But sometimes you have a hard time forgiving yourself. But when you understand that God's grace covers the worst thing that you could possibly have ever done, His grace is available this moment, right here, right now. And you just need to receive His forgiveness. God wants you clean and pure before Him so that you can walk in confidence with Him. This is your God. This is what Jesus secured for you at the cross. Grace. That's the second reality. Now the third. He gives us a sure hope. This is a longer verse. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now look at the first line. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now some of your versions might say, and we boast or we exult in the glory, in the hope of the glory of God. But the question is this, what is this hope of the glory of God? What is that hope? Well, it is the hope of becoming like Jesus. The hope of the glory of God is the beauty of Christ's life that now resides in you by faith, that God promises to develop in you. And the Bible calls this hope a mystery. And a mystery was something that was here beforehand, hidden. We didn't know the reality of it, but now it is revealed to us in Christ. And this is the reality. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, the moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ, Jesus took up residence in you by His Spirit. You became a new creation in Christ. This is an invisible reality. That old you, that sinful you, that wretched you, that's gone. That old nature was crucified at the cross with Jesus Christ. And a new you was born. The birth of a spiritual birth took place in you. This new has come. And the reason that the new has come is that the moment you trusted Jesus, Jesus gave you His life to live in you. He gave us His righteousness to live in you. And now Jesus continues to work in you to complete the work He began in you. He has come into your life by the Holy Spirit so He can change you and make you more and more like Him. Now here's the interesting reality. This reality has always been God's plan for your life. God loved you so much that He wanted to save you. God loved you so much that He sent Jesus Christ to die for you, to bring you forgiveness and reconcile you to Himself, to make peace with you, and to give you hope. So his love today continues because he doesn't want to leave you as you were when you came to the cross. He wants to transform you through Jesus. This has always been his plan for you. He is not done with you, or nor is he done with me, thankfully. That is good news.
Amen.
In fact, in Romans 8:29, we're told that one day you will share in God's glory because you have been predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. God wants to make something beautiful out of your life. See, this is why our hope of glory is a sure thing. Our hope of glory is based on what Jesus can do through you, not on what you can do. See, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Jesus himself said that. Apart from Jesus, we will fail, fall short of the glory of God. We just don't have it in us to live the life God wants us to live. That is, apart from Jesus. Apart from Jesus, we will fail. Apart from Jesus, we won't love our neighbors as we should. Apart from Jesus, we will not love our spouses as we should. Apart from Jesus, we will covet, we will envy, we will not always be thankful in all things. We will say and do things that hurt others. We will blame others. We will fall into bouts of selfishness. We will wander into bouts of rebellion and faithlessness. We will love only those we want to love, and not those who are hard to love. I think you start to get the idea. Without Jesus, we are miserable failures. We don't need religion, we need Jesus. So that's what Jesus does. He gives us the hope that we can live like him and bring glory to God. And because Jesus lives in you, you have this hope. And that's grounds for rejoicing. We can rejoice that Jesus doesn't leave us the way we are. We can rejoice that Jesus will transform us. And we can rejoice knowing that whatever we face, God is actually using it to make us more like Jesus. That's why the rest of this verse says this: not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. This is a very simple way of saying that Jesus, God, allows suffering in our life to make us more like Jesus. See, God allows us to experience the storms of life so we can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. You see, as we endure the testing that life throws at us, character can be produced in us. And this character, once it's produced in us, will produce hope in us. I love how Thomas Schneider explains how this works. Thomas Schneider is one of the theologians on my bookshelves. He says this: after one endures many difficulties, a strength of character develops that was not present previously. Such tested character generates hope. Why does tested character spark hope? This is what he says: because moral transformation constitutes evidence that one has really been changed by God. Thus we experience change, and when we experience that change, we are assured. We are assured that our hope of future glory is not an illusion. God is at work, even in the hard stuff of life, to make you like Jesus. So here's a word for you. The next time you face a trial, the next time you face a hardship, the next time you face a difficulty, do not pray that God will take it away. What? You know what we do as Christians? As soon as we face something tough, that goes right on the prayer chain. Take that away. Take that away. Take that away. Isn't that how we pray? Isn't that our natural bent? Take that away. Jesus is too hard for us. I don't want my friend to suffer. I want to suffer. That's the American way. We don't want to suffer. But God's Word says that if we follow Jesus, we will suffer. And God allows the suffering in our lives to test us, produce endurance in us, to produce the patience and endurance and grace in Christ in us, so we'll become like Jesus. So the next time you face hardship, don't pray that God will take it away. Pray that God will give you the grace to endure it with the grace of Jesus Christ. Because when we endure suffering with the grace of Jesus Christ, guess what happens? Others see Jesus in us. You see, none of us like suffering. But I have never spoken to anyone who has been through suffering who said that they weren't thankful for it. Because that they know that through it, God carried them through, and that through it, they were able to testify to Jesus. You all know people who have suffered with cancer. I think of my brother-in-law, whose anniversary of his death was just yesterday. A couple years younger than me. Died of stomach cancer. He was a construction foreman, loved to build houses. He was a perfectionist, so he was really good at it. But he chose that profession because he was an evangelist. He didn't want to go into the ministry. He had a brother who did that, but he wanted to be out there in the trenches so he could share Jesus with people. While he would go in for his chemo treatments every week, he just used that as an opportunity to show the love of Jesus. He carried with him a peace and a joy. He fought cancer as hard as he could, but cancer got him. But he always shined Jesus. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. The hope of becoming more and more like Jesus. Now, I say all this, it's okay to pray that God will take away the stuff. I think God's bigger than our prayers, right? But sometimes in the midst, while you're asking Him to take that away, remember, you've got a brilliant opportunity to shine the light of Jesus Christ. The hope of glory. You know, my word for glory is beauty. When we see the glory of God someday, we will be awestruck in the amazing beauty of God. And when I see the hope of glory in you, what God wants to do is make you beautiful. Because I believe Jesus is probably the most beautiful person that's ever lived. Well, that's the third reality, and the fourth one's just very brief. Because of what Jesus did and secured for us on the cross, this is the final reality. He fills us with His love. This verse you probably know. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What Paul says here is that for those who put their hope in God, we can now have a confidence that God is for us, even in the midst of those trials and hardships. How can we have this confidence? Because the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God poured His love into your heart through the Holy Spirit, who He gave you. At that moment, the moment you believed, you discovered God's love. You discovered that God did for you what you could not do for yourself. God gave you His one and only Son to die in your place to make you right with Him. God gave you forgiveness of all your sin. God gave you the righteousness of Jesus so you could stand before Him. God gave you His peace so you could become friends with Him. God made you to be able to stand in His presence so that you could find grace and mercy in your time of need. And He gave you the hope of glory, Christ in us, so that He can change you and make you just like Jesus. And that's all part of His love that He downloads in us to the moment we believe, and it is a love that remains. It never leaves us. See, His love for us now is that spiritual experience that gives us the assurance that we are His and that God is not only with us, but will help us endure whatever we may face. And the result of all that God has done for us in Jesus, all of this love that He has poured into our hearts, should give us confidence. A God confidence to live each day as the beloved of God, knowing that God is in control, that God is always at work, that God always has our backs, and God will help us in whatever we may face, because He will never stop loving us. That's the God confidence that Jesus secured for you and me at the cross. And He made you right with God. That's the God confidence He wants you to walk out of here with this morning. A confidence that's not based on circumstances, but a confidence that's determined in fact, in the reality of what Jesus secured for you and gave you at the cross. You have a God that is for you, that is with you, who will never leave you nor forsake you. He's given us so much in Jesus. So I have just one question for you this morning. Do you have this God confidence? Do you have this God confidence? Are you certain that God is your friend? Are you certain that God is still working in you? Are you certain that you can have His forgiveness whenever you need it? Are you certain of His love for you? That's the confidence that Jesus gives us by His death on the cross. And if you have put your faith in Jesus, you should have that confidence. Because the enemy wants to do everything in his power to take that confidence away. That's why he's called the accuser. You don't want to listen to that voice. You want to listen to this voice. The truth of God, who is for you always. Do you have this God confidence? If so, then rejoice in Jesus Christ, who has done all this and accomplished all this for you at the cross. If not, then turn to Jesus. Turn away from the false confidence of the world into the secure confidence that Jesus has for you by putting your faith in Him. God wants His people to walk in confidence.